Welcome to Activate Yourself with Gita Sidhu-Rab, where we feature otherwise normal people who, because of events in their life, have turned left and done unusual, inspiring, incredible things, like build a business, become a happiness expert, marry a prince, create an empire, or like your host, set up a health and wellness business, Nosh Detox. Here's your host, Gita Sidhu-Rab.
Hi, my name is Gita Sidhu-Rab, and this is Activate Yourself. And you know, we spend a lot of time talking about your voice. We spend a lot of time talking about how it's important, why it's important, particularly for women, because I do think that there isn't a version of us that society particularly needs us to be mouthy. I mean, I don't think any woman has ever grown up thinking, oh my God, society loves it when I talk too much. There just isn't, because I think that the way women function, we're not meant to think like that. So it makes it a problem for us. And today's guest is going to have a conversation with us about how young this can start. And she used a term that I've never heard before, for selective mutism. And I'm like, what on earth does that mean? Mm-hmm. And so today we've got Brittany Christantos, who's going to tell us what that means. Brittany, thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited. And this is a really important conversation. And I hope we can make a difference today.
Completely. And so talk to me about selective mutism. What actually is selective mutism? Because I have to say, I've never heard that term.
Yeah, selective mutism is think about like this. You have anxiety, and the anxiety is so bad that it's making you so nervous to do something, right? Like you have that panic attack. So for me as a young age, at 7 years old, as a baby to seven, I had that anxiety attack where I was so scared to speak. So that is the best way to explain selective mutism. It's when you're afraid to speak, to share your voice from a little age as a baby to whatever age it is. For me, it was baby to 7 years old, and I would be afraid in big public scenarios. I would be selective of what I said to my parents. So I would talk to my parents a few words and whisper in their ears in public. But most of the time, I was basically mute and didn't talk. So that is what selective mutism is.
And do you know what scared you?
For me, as a young age, it was never. Something that came through where I was like, I know exactly this is what scared me, but it was honestly at the time, especially, and it still is a really rare anxiety condition. I believe it's 1% in the population that actually has it from like early on without trauma. And so it was something that had to outgrow on my own. My parents would take me to the doctors to see if I was like deaf. And of course they would like ask me to like put up two fingers, and I listened perfectly and I did it. So really nothing scared me except for the fact of speaking. Speaking terrified me for some reason.
That is so interesting. And then as a woman on top of that as well, right? Because being female and speaking out being punished heavily across the eons of time. So I can imagine that being a thing.
Yeah, as a female, especially now as I'm 26, I feel like I experience that all the time. You know, it's also important as a female to speak up for your body. For me, I've gone through some challenging times the last few months, the summer, and I think it's so important, you know, to understand that your voice matters and to listen to your body. And you know, there are so many challenging moments as a female. You want to say something, you want to speak up, whether it's in relationships or with your family or your friends or with your boyfriend or with a guy you like, whatever it is there, or your career. There's so many times you want to speak up and you can get so afraid, right? And your emotions come up and you're like, should I say this? Should I not? But I think that comes with a lot of strength. You know, us females have so much strength within ourselves, and we just need to tap into that.
Yeah, no, I agree. But I think also the thing that we're afraid of tends to be consequences. Mm-hmm. Because there are so many consequences attached to being open and honest as a woman. I remember, because I'm Indian and I grew up in an Indian community, and I remember there was this very famous actress who in Bollywood, she had audience of billions in, you know, in those days. And she was having an affair with a married man. And everybody was like, oh, she's terrible. Oh, she's terrible. Oh, she's terrible. And I'm like, and I was five or something. And I'm like, but she's not married. He is. Mm. Why is she getting all the trouble when he's the one that's married? And that I was you didn't understand. Oh, you don't understand. No, I must have been older. I must have been about 10. You don't understand. And I was like, no, I think I understand, but I think it's wrong. And I remember getting into so much trouble because, you know, who the hell are you to come in and say all these things to elders and all this? And I remember thinking, wow, there's a punishment and a consequence attached to speaking up.
It is. And also, like, not to get into this topic, but a lot of people too believe that, like, females should not speak up about politics and, like, females don't have a say. And, like, you're just a dumb girl. You don't say anything. Like, growing up, I remember, like, as a kid too, or well, not as a kid, but as a teenager, I always was taught by society that, like, your opinions don't really matter in the world and how things are made in the world and politics, or in your opinions don't matter. Right. And I think I've always remembered that. And I always kind of, like, even for that example, like, when I was a teenager, I probably, if someone said that to me and I had an opinion, I probably wouldn't have spoken up because I was like, well, my opinion doesn't matter. I'm just a female. And I think now things are changing so much. And, you know, it's time for females to stand up and to, you know, fight for each other. And you're right, though. It wasn't her fault. She just did what her heart wanted to do, I guess. And it's his fault for making those consequences. So
yeah, for his family and his wife, because she wasn't married.
She wasn't, and she liked him. Probably she had feelings, and that feelings are a really hard thing sometimes when you like someone or you have a crush on someone.
She couldn't push him into that scenario, could she? He was extremely famous actor as well, and he was very wealthy, and so he made choices. But I think as women, we get judged for those choices much more than men do.
Yeah.
So you're there. You've got selective mutism, but you also had depression.
Mm-hmm.
And you wrote a book at 15 saying, "You are, I'm not your average teen," the one that's behind you. Talk to me about that. How did that all come about?
Yeah. So taking you back to 15 years old, I was in high school. And I remember just things were great in the first year of high school. I was, you could say, average. That's why the title is important to me. I was average in some way, where I had friends, popular friends in high school. You know how that is. And nothing seemed bad. Nothing seemed out of place for me, except for inside myself, I was breaking. I was in a really dark, bad place. And I realized I'm not happy anymore. And so the depression started to kind of manifest itself. It was starting to be where I wouldn't hang out with my friends, my popular friends. I would not go out with them on the weekends. I would kind of distance myself from them. I would stay home every night. I would eat lots of junk food and watch TV day, night, every time, not go to school. And so my parents started to notice something was wrong with me, but they couldn't figure it out. So they kept pressuring me to go out, go be normal, go be average. And at the time, mental health over 10 years ago, over 11 years ago now, it wasn't a thing. You don't talk about it. We don't even know what it is. So they just saw a kid that, you know, was not going out with their friends, and they wanted to pressure that. So it got worse. And it came to a point where I didn't want to live anymore. And I started giving up hope and giving up on my life. And then I realized at the darkest moment, you know, when darkness came to me, I saw no light at that moment. And I realized I don't want to be here anymore. And then
how old were you at this?
I was 14 or 15. And then through those moments, I realized, wow, what if things kind of change? And I don't know if you call this some hope or the universe or something inside you, you know, you get that like moment of like a thought.
Yeah.
Clarity came to me. And that was a clarity that I needed to get help. I needed to find hope, and I needed to change my life around. So after that, I didn't even tell my parents about this incident of almost ending my life or that I wasn't happy. I just went on Google. I typed in like ways to change your life. I found books like from authors like Louise Hayes and Wayne Dyer at 15 years old. And I found like a life coach online. I gave her a call and I said, "Hey, I want to see you. I almost killed myself, but I need help." And she's like, "You need to bring your dad for the session." And so I did. And I guess he found out that I was not in a good place. And then after that, it was a journey for me of finding myself and finding my voice. And through that healing sessions with her, she kind of encouraged me to write a journal, which ended up being my book, I'm Not Your Average Teen. Because a year later, flash forward, I was 16 years old. She was like, "Your voice, your story, your experiences can help other teenagers. Why don't you take this and put it out to the world?" And at the time, I was like, me, 15, 16-year-old Brittany, how am I going to change the world? But I'm really glad I did that because I got to help a lot of lives who, or hopefully inspire a lot of people.
That's true, because people, the one of the problems I think of being in a bad place is that you somehow feel like you're the only person that's ever gone through it, and that there's something, it was your fault you're going through it, right? So if there is somebody else that can say, I'm like you, and I've gone through this, and I've had this problem, it's actually a helpful place to be.
It's a really helpful place to be, knowing that other people understand and knowing that you're not alone. I think that's the biggest thing too. When I was doing these things, like going to like a life coach girl who can teach you ways of happiness, whether it was through meditation or yoga, or when I was reading books that made me realize I wasn't alone, that actually gave me the shining light and like the motivation to keep going and to not go back to that dark place. And of course, I'm not this like happy person every time. There are moments in our lives that come up, especially like finding moments, being 16 and then being 18, and then going through young adulthood and then
Yeah.
going now almost 30. There's so many different moments in your life now that come up. And they're bad, or experiences happen, and you have to figure a way to get through those moments.
No, I agree. Okay, we're going to take a quick break and come back, and I want to talk about how that resilience that you developed has actually helped you.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
The station that makes you feel good.
So we're back, and you are literally saying that you found a way to work through your mental health issues the first time around, but in one of the hardest periods of sort of young adulthood, because being a teenager, I went on holiday with my daughters last week. And I remember how appalling my elder daughter was at the age of 15 and 16. I would have happily thrown her out of a window. And I'm very happy I didn't, because now we get on very well. But there was just a place there where the hormones and everything were terrible. So how did this play out in your family? How did this work in your with your parents?
My parents were really supportive. When they found out that I was, going through my struggles, they felt really hopeless and helpless for me. They never knew really how bad it was until they got a copy of I'm Not Your Average Teen and read it. So they really had no idea that I was that depressed. So for them, they were shocked when they read the book, to read the journals and to get an idea of what was inside Brittany's world. But when they found out, they were very supportive. They made sure I go to therapy. They made sure I went to the life coach constantly. And they've been there for me throughout the journey. They just, unfortunately, because of what the time it was, the world wasn't educated of mental health. So they didn't know what to do. So
Yeah.
that's why right now it's so important for parents to be educated and learn ways that they can either see signs of their kids struggling, or they can know how to be there for their kid when they struggle.
But I find it really, yeah, because as a parent, the first thing you're going to do is blame yourself because you feel guilty. But I also find it very interesting because I have a child, a children in my in their 20s, and the youngest one is a totally different generation from the one who's a year older than you. It's almost like a completely different generation because of the way they've grown up and how they use social media and how we use the telephone. Have you noticed that? Are we, what's the question I want to ask you? Are we more aware of mental health because it's more of a problem? Or is it that our awareness has led us to understand how big a problem it actually is?
If I'm going to be honest here, I think we're understanding mental health now more than anything because of how bad the crisis is. I mean, there's a stat that really shakens me up all the time. It's every 40 seconds someone ends their life in this world. So every time you see a clock and it's 40 seconds go by, someone had just, unfortunately ended their life.
Awful.
It's awful. It makes me so emotional thinking about that. And I think it now, people are tuning in because they're realizing how bad they are, how bad the crisis is, how bad it's getting out of control. But of course, there are awareness because people are speaking about it and touching about it. And our generation, my generation, is speaking about it. So I think it has both kind of play into a role here, but I really do believe that there is a crisis, and maybe that's why people are tuning in more, but there definitely has to be both, because we're evolving as a society.
And we're speaking about it more, and we're more, you know, people, there's also, because of social media, so much more access to all of our other opinions that you can turn around and think, oh my God, this person also feels bad, you know, so it's happening. When you're talking about your selective mutism and depression and the hope that you felt, how long was that process in coming out of this?
The hope that I found, it was a process, because I was going to this therapist who was like a different kind of therapist, life coach I was talking about, and it was like weekly sessions, then it became monthly sessions, and then every 2 month sessions. But that was a full year of just hardcore changing my life at 16 years old. And then that I was happy, I applied the methods to my life, and then moments took me back again, being 18, falling in love for the first time with this young guy, like this, you know, teenage love or whatever, and then losing my virginity, him not talking to me after, feeling helpless. Yeah, I know.
Asshole.
And then, asshole, I know. And then being sad again, I'm like, is something wrong with me? Because I kept going back to this place of, is something wrong with me? Because that was my trigger, is I'm not good enough. I don't love myself.
The world.
Exactly. So then that triggered me. But then, okay, whatever. Dating happened again. You know, find myself again. I've always been the type to fall in love quick. So I think it's like age process with age and time in your life where you are. There's things that change in your life. Now being I'm 26 and I'm so close to 30 in two years, I'm almost 27 now. So you're so close to that next generation, you know, when you're 30, you're like, oh, my life has to be figured out right now. So then you start having these thoughts or these other life experiences that you never had when you were 18. So I think every moment I find that little moment of hope when things start getting bad, or I start finding myself spiraling into like the old patterns, because it comes up. I just need to tell myself that, okay, take a breath. It's going to get better. And so that's kind of what helps me. Cause like I said, things come up through different times and different ages and different, you know, eras in your life.
Yeah. And you have to remind yourself, this too shall pass. And then it gives it gives you a way of kind of hanging in there till the damn thing does pass, actually. So what do you do now?
Yeah, what I do now, I do so much these days. I'm starting a new podcast. It's coming out this Wednesday, the 14th. It's going to be about life. If you're talking about like girls, but even vaginas, like things that we don't talk about, right? Like dating and mental health and life crises and everything. Because my whole life, I feel like I've been holding back. Everyone's seen like the Britney who talks about mental health, and I want to show people more of like the inside of my world. So that's going to be fun. And then I'm doing a lot of talks and mental health awareness and different interviews, where I recently did an interview with the Prime Minister, Justin Trudeau. And now I'm just doing more different interviews with different advocates and people and world leaders. And I think it's so important for me to not give up on my mission of mental health and to continue fighting for it, because people's lives matter. And that's kind of my hope, is that things will get better. So I've been doing a lot of things, but mostly staying focused on, you know, my mission of things are going to get better.
So when you talk about mental health, what is it that what is it you're trying to bring into awareness? What is it you're trying to do with that mental health?
Well, for one, the mental health stats and the mental health lives that are ended every year is so sad and horrible. For me, when I talk about mental health, I want to give other people who may be close to ending their life or feeling alone to either get awareness or resources of where they can go to get help, or to, you know, inspire them that they don't have to go that path, and to help them realize that their life matters. And the more we talk about it, the more awareness we can bring, I believe really that the more lives we can save.
And do you believe that, what do you think is the most effective way to help people with mental health issues?
Oh, for one is sharing your experiences, reminding people that they're not alone, talking about it, telling them what you went through, telling them, you know, what you're going through, just being so open and vulnerable is the best thing you can do.
But I think, like, do people not, like, struggle with that? Because even men, I think there's a rising epidemic in young men.
Yeah.
But that's not advice they're going to take, I don't think, is it?
No, but it's advice that they should take. And I think also, when more men, I know you're right. A lot of different cultures too, don't, like, for men, don't believe in opening up. And I know it's a stigma. Even my friend,
women think they should open up. I don't think.
Yeah. There's no culture. There's just, it's a mindset, right? Cause their dads, it's like generational. Their dads kind of tell
them. Manly to be vulnerable and emotional, which is so stupid.
Yeah. It's so dumb. And it's also, like, my friend told me, like, it comes from their fathers and their fathers and their fathers that, you know, men don't cry or men don't open up. That's kind of what I was getting at. They have the culture. I meant to say the generational. So I believe that now if men can change the generation and teach their sons and their sons and their grandsons that it's okay to open up and to cry and to speak. And I think maybe we can change a little bit more in there. But I totally agree with you that men are definitely so much more closed off. And I think it's so beautiful when you meet a man that is so vulnerable, and that is beautiful to me. And for them, you know, who don't open up, I think the best thing for them is resources. If they don't want to speak to their friends because they're embarrassed that they'll, like, their manhood would be taken away, then talk to a therapist. You know, no one needs to know, like, what you say to your therapist. So, I think that's really important.
So we're going to take a quick break and we'll come back. And I would like to talk about how you see your skill sets being used to impact and change the world, because you obviously have developed the most wonderful skill sets to deal with mental health. And so that must be for a purpose, right? We're all born for this purpose. So we'll be back.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. The station that makes you feel good.
So we're back. What do you think? Why do you think you were born? What is it that you think you were born to achieve?
That is a really good question.
Yeah, and it's big.
It's a good question. I believe that we all on this earth, each one of us, you, me, everyone, have a purpose in this world. And we all have something we need to accomplish, something we have to make happen. And I believe really strongly that my purpose in this world is to really bring awareness for this crisis and somehow make a difference for voices who aren't heard. And because of my struggles as a kid, I believe now that my voice is powerful on my own, and my voice is powerful with everyone coming together. And I'm no better than anyone else. I'm just a person that is an advocate and that strongly believes that we need to make a difference. So if you're going to ask me, you know, what my purpose is in this world or what can I do? I know it's cliche, but I want to change the world. I want to make it better. So when I leave the world one day, and hopefully I have kids one day, I can leave the world with a better place. My kids can have a better place. Hopefully one day they have kids and they can have a better place in the world. So that's really my motivation and my shining light. The thing that wakes me up every morning is that hope that the world will be better. The world will be kinder, more peaceful. People will love and people will talk about their struggles.
Yeah. And that's really well put. I like that. I like particularly that you said advocacy, because I think that it's a form of activism, right? And I think if more of us became advocates in activism, what it does is it shifts us from observing things happening to wanting to change those things. And if one person out of every 100 or every 1,000 or 10,000 decided they were going to be an advocate for something positive, I think that that would change the world by itself, because it would have a tipping point, wouldn't it?
For sure. I agree with you completely. If everyone had something that they can, you know, give them hope or live for, something that they can do to make a difference in the world, then the world would be more peace. Like, when you put more love out, you're going to get love. It's like what you put out in the world and what you get back is the same. So people were to put more positivity, more love into the world, of course the world's going to change because it's energy and thought.
No, exactly. But I think we don't understand that enough. And I think that we need to do more of it, because if that's something that you can do, it's not taken away from the rest of your life. It adds to the way that you live, you know, and I'm passionate about that. So I really agree. So did you write more books? Do you have more books coming out?
So I wrote
written. I'm sure you're going to want to write more, right?
I do. So I wrote two books. I wrote my last book when I was 18, 20, but I've had writer's block for a few years. I wrote a new book recently, but I haven't finished it enough to where I want to be like, this is my next book. But I know when I do, it'll be powerful, but there will be another book, but when, who knows? And I definitely know that there's so much I've gone through, so much experiences I went through as a woman, that this book, the next book, is really needed. So when that does come out, I can't wait for the world to read it.
Yeah, I love that. If you had to summarize, what are the three things that you've learned?
Well, three things. I think recently.
Okay, do five, but I mean, let's
keep. Five. Three. That's,
is that okay. Better? I think three is good. It's a nice number.
Yeah, three is good. Number one is the one I learned as a kid. I'll say that one is your voice matters. So that is anytime that you feel like you can't speak, or anytime you feel like your opinions don't matter, your voice matters, and to always raise awareness and always talk and always get things off your chest. Two, recently in my life, I think this thing applies to anything, is don't play games, whether it's business or personal, is don't play with people's emotions and don't take advantage of people, and go for what you want. If you want something in business, then do it. If you like someone, do it. Like, don't play games. Mm-hmm. Three is a really, really, really big important one, is that you're worthy of so much more. And yes. Sometimes we think that we're not good enough. We're not good enough for love. We're not good enough for success. We're not good enough for joy or happiness. And to know that we are so much more worthy than anything that we believe, because like me, I've felt like I wasn't worthy enough, and that made me be in bad relationships and do things that aren't serving me and aren't making me happy. And you have to understand first that you're worthy, and nobody around you can tell you your worth or tell you to make better choices. You have to figure it out on your own. There's so many. And I think number four would be, as a female, it's same as your voice, but as a female, to know that your power in this world is really powerful. And that,
Sorry, stop there a moment, because that's what I do all day, every day. I teach women how to be powerful. So I love that. Can I ask you about that? Because just as we're finishing off, there was a place where you were afraid to speak, right? Whereas mm-hmm. now your job is speaking.
Yeah.
Isn't that an interesting through line?
It is. It is. When you put it like that, it is. Definitely interesting. And I think that's a good example. I mean, not everyone's going to have selective mutism and not speak, but everyone in the world has moments where they don't speak, right, internally. So it's a really cool analogy to know, like, hey, I was a 7-year-old kid that didn't speak. And even the moment when I was in the Parliament of Canada speaking to the Prime Minister, I got really emotional after, because I thought about that little girl and what she would have said. And here I was in a place of change where, you know, technically the government changes the world, right? Whether they're good or bad, they make changes. So I was there in that moment. I was like, I'm speaking to the leader of my country and I have a voice. What the hell? So that was an example for me of power and voice for me, and healing, because I never imagined in a million years little Brittany would ever have a chance to speak to one of the most powerful people in Canada. So for me, that was really a special moment that I cried for days after, because I couldn't believe it myself. But then it made me realize how much power Brittany has and how much more power she can have. She just really anchored that power. So yeah, it's a beautiful moment when things change in your life and hope and courage and confidence come up.
I think it's really interesting as well that the things that we struggled at doing when we were younger, for whatever reason, that those are the skills that it's almost like you suppressed it, and then you blew it up so well that it's what you bloody do all day, and then you're going to talk to the Prime Minister of Canada, right?
Because yeah,
it became such a huge thing that you made out of it finally.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. And the next one, hopefully I can speak to the next world leader in another country. That's my goal here. But I totally agree with you. And that goes with everyone, though. I think everyone can apply that experience or that courage to do something big or to believe that they are worthy of big things in their life. And so many times I hear people say to me, "Oh, Brittany, my family's not lucky, or I can't do it like you." But it's like, I'm not lucky. Like, I didn't come from luckiness or multi-million dollar family. I came from, not that. So anything is possible. And even for me to write my book, I had to get a part-time job just to afford editing at 16 years old and to afford, publishing out in the world. So I think anything is possible for anyone. They just need to take the chance on themselves, and they have to, realize that they matter and they're deserving of happiness.
I think it's really important. I think that everyone has a unique purpose, and when they find it, it blows it up so that there's a huge audience for it, much like you've done. How do people find you?
People can find me on Instagram, social media, my website. So it's Britt Krystantos, Britt, last name Krystantos. And they can find me on my website. They can find my everything I do. And they can, reach out. And I want to say this really clearly. If anyone is going through some struggles, if anyone, wants to talk to me, I'm very open to talking on Instagram and social media, and I will answer you back. And if you want to talk to me, and we can be friends. Like, I really want to be there for people. So anyone who's going through their struggles, to know they're not alone.
That's perfect. I hope everybody who needs to hear this gets to hear it. And thank you very much for coming on.
Thank you so much for having me.
My name is Geeta Sidhu Rob, and this is Activate Yourself. And it was a different episode of How to Find Your Voice. Obviously, if you haven't had a voice and you decide to find it, and then you blow that whole thing up, you then end up doing what Britney's done and taking over part of the world. The other rest is yesterday, is on its way. It's on its way in. I love listening to stories like Britney's because they make me feel like there is hope, like there is inspiration. So for you, where you are today, if you feel like you need hope, if you feel like you need inspiration, hopefully this has touched something for you. And I look forward to speaking to you again.
Thank you so much for joining us. Our goal was to give you pause, make you think about your life, and inspire you to say, wow, what if I tried to do that? If they can do it, so can I. Did it work? Let us know by finding us on social media at Geeta Sidhu Rob or at Nosh Detox. We upload new shows every 2 weeks here. And if you start to miss us, check us out on YouTube.